This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Gas price spike on hold. The IRS is doing layoffs. What's that going to mean for tax season? But first, to PCH opening back up.
Roughly from Malibu to Santa Monica, 9 mile stretch. Got to have a pass, though. Let's get more live from the scene there on PCH and our John Baird.
And that is the key. You do have to have a pass. But let me tell you, it's got to be a good thing for people, especially in Malibu, that want to come down here, go through this area. They have to go all the way around. In fact, my GPS a minute ago was trying to get me to do a U-turn to go to Malibu, from the Palisades. And it said an hour and 23 minutes. I have to go all the way around 10 and then up the 405 to the 101. So they won't have to do that anymore, but they will have to have a pass. So Palisades residents going up to Malibu and vice versa will just have to show a pass. And they are checking at that checkpoint at Chautauqua here near Santa Monica. They are checking. Contractors have to have passes. Residents have to have passes. And, of course, first responders and utility crews and the like, they can still get through, bus drivers. But you will have to have a pass to get in here, but it's got to be a relief so they don't have to make that long trip around. And, by the way, Malibu residents can get the passes at Malibu City Hall.
All right, John, thanks. There's this new effort from a nonprofit, a fire recovery group, and also a housing manufacturer. They do the prefab housing, and it may end up providing a number of homes for free to low-income victims of the fires. Here's Pete Demetrio.
Rick Caruso's Steadfast LA will be providing seed money for the project, while Samara Corporation will gift prefabricated homes to selected fire victims from the Palisades or the Eaton Canyon fire zones. Samara CEO Mike McNamara says this approach will avoid long delays that some are anticipating for home rebuilds.
We build these off-site, which means we're using a different labor base. We're not using the LA labor base. We're using a different labor base. We're using a different supply chain. And not only is the fact that we're not straining that same building and construction supply chain within LA, but we also can build them simultaneously with the developing the land. Because before you put a house under the land, you have to get utility connections ready, and you have to maybe put in a driveway, maybe you have to, you know, do a carport or garage or whatever the city requires. There's a number of different activities that you have to do, and you can do all those activities simultaneously with building the unit offsite. So we think that's a really cool feature, and but you know, objective is to take care of everything.
California's updated clean air rules are on hold after failing to meet legal standards. The changes could have raised gas prices about 65 cents, but officials have to now fix the unclear language. Republican lawmakers, some of them and some others, opposed the potential price hike, calling for more transparency. The Air Resources Board has about 6 months to revise the rules, while some push back to block them permanently. Any major changes do require public input.
Bus riders in the San Fernando Valley, the G Line, the Van Nuys station, closing today for 3 years. It'll close down tonight. Metro building a brand new one, elevated station, so they can make things go faster. Construction starts tomorrow. It's going to be part of a bridge over Van Nuys Boulevard. When the station's closed, riders are going to catch a bus at a temporary stop, Van Nuys and Oxnard. Once everything's done, they're thinking 2027. The new station will help the buses cut 12 minutes off the overall time, part of a big project, $660 million, to improve that G line.
Did you hear about this? Former NFL player Chris Clouy arrested this week during a city council meeting in Huntington Beach. Went to the meeting to protest a proposed MAGA plaque outside the Central Library.
Unfortunately, it's clear that this council does not listen, so instead I'm going to take my time to say what MAGA has stood for these past 3 weeks. MAGA stands for trying to erase trans people from existence. MAGA stands for resegregation and racism. MAGA stands for censorship and book bans. MAGA stands for firing air traffic controllers while planes are crashing.
And he ended by saying, I will now engage in the time-honored American tradition of peaceful civil disobedience. And then he went up to the area where the city council members were seated. Some officers there kind of, you know, grabbed onto him and carried him out. Clouy was a punter for the Vikings 2005 to 2012, and he went to UCLA.
More cuts to the government, IRS this time. Maybe a few thousand workers by the end of the week. Email sent to some managers talking about workers still in their probation periods says they were not deemed critical to filing season. What about long-term effects of cuts, though? We're with Carla Dennis, enrolled tax agent based in La Palma.
Hi, Carla. Good morning.
Good morning.
So nobody likes layoffs. I mean, nobody likes to see people lose their jobs. But we are sort of selfishly looking at how this might impact us as, you know, customers and tax filers and things like that. And one of the things that popped out was fewer audits, which I thought, well, that's not a bad thing.
You're right. It's definitely not a bad thing. The layoffs are going to be, or seems to be, in the compliance area. In the compliance area, the IRS is divided into two parts. It's divided into the part where people are filing their tax returns and they're getting refunds out the door, and actual audit of returns. The layoffs appear to be to auditors only for right now. So I think there'll be fewer audits.
There are audits and then there are audits, right? Is this going to go after audits where maybe they only claw back a little bit and you're like, really, you didn't lose that much? Maybe I clicked the wrong thing when I was on my TurboTax or when I came to see my accountant. Or is this going to affect, you know, actual tax cheats where we want them to get caught because they're not paying what they should be?
I think it's going to affect actual audits where IRS is knocking on your door, sending those letters and stating that they're going to audit your tax return. And as a whole, you know, one has to wonder how much money do these audits actually bring in? Yes, you're going to have those people that are going to try to cheat the government. They ultra aggressive. They don't follow the laws. But there are a lot of law abiding citizens that get audited. And especially small businesses, where the time that they have to put into an audit really takes away from their business. And how much does IRS recover for that?
So the goal of this is to, or one of the goals, is to create more efficiency for the IRS. And no offense, but when I think IRS, I don't exactly think efficiency. Do you agree that...
Is that because it takes 21 days to get your money back?
just overall. Do you agree that it would create more efficiency? And what would that look like for the agency?
I do think it will create more efficiency. I interact with IRS on a regular basis, helping individuals with audits. And one of the things that we run into is that a lot of the new auditors, and it seems like they're going to be laying off a lot of the newer ones, a lot of the new auditors lack the experience and knowledge. And so the audits drag out longer than they should, costing taxpayers more time to pay representatives and pull them away from their business. So I think there's going to be efficiency in that they're going to give these audits to probably more senior auditors that can get in and get out quickly, or even look at an issue and say, oh, it's probably not even going to be worth auditing. So I think that's going to be one aspect of it. The other aspect of it is you're going to have to do more with less now. And I really do believe if IRS has initiatives to raise more revenue for the government and to be this new friendlier place, that they are going to have to show up now, because this Department of Government Efficiency doesn't seem to be playing around with, you know, coming in, cutting and laying people off very quickly.
Carla Dennis there, enrolled tax agent based in La Palma.
I like how she said Thanks. It. They're not playing around. There could be a new FBI director later today, and there's a new poll out about President Trump and how people think he's doing so far. Those stories and more as 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
There's a group of volunteers on the streets in South L.A. They say they're keeping watch for immigration officers. Channel 4 saying they want to warn families if they think ICE agents are nearby, remind people of their rights. They want to say they make sure no families get separated. They're handing out cards, reminding people about their rights. You might have seen these cards, little red ones, and then they say they're looking for special SUVs that might have the ICE agents in them.
Senators on the Judiciary Committee say their Republican colleagues are ignoring warning signs about Kash Patel's actions or comments. He's the guy that's probably going to be the next FBI director. Here's Illinois Senator Dick Durbin.
We stand outside the building. Mr. Patel on one day plans to, quote, shut down and reopen the next day as a museum of the deep state. That is one of many of the bizarre political statements made by the man who is asking for 10 years as director of the FBI.
And he's expected to get final confirmation, the vote in the Senate today.
Been a month since Donald Trump started that second term. CNN poll shows a lot of Americans just aren't quite sure what to think yet. Approval rating lower than when he first started, 47%. Like what he's doing, 52% disapprove. A lot of Americans feel he's not doing enough to actually lower prices of everyday stuff. They worry he's using too much power. Some also don't like the plans to shut down entire agencies and give the powerful roles to people like Elon Musk.
President Trump could meet with Vladimir Putin to talk about the end of the war in Ukraine.
Russia says it's agreed to resume a wide-ranging dialogue with the U.S. on Ukraine after the two sides held talks in Saudi Arabia on Tuesday. A Kremlin spokesman says Moscow absolutely agrees with President Trump's demand that Ukraine's President Zelensky, quote, move fast to end the conflict in his country.
As CBS News correspondent Vicky Barker, word out of Ukraine today that a news conference between Ukraine's President Zelensky and Donald Trump's Ukraine envoy was canceled at the request of the U.S.
Trump's special envoy to Ukraine set to meet with Zelensky today. BBC's James Waterhouse in Kyiv saying the meeting is going to take place at a time when, relations are getting strained.
America is increasingly, it seems, aligning itself with Moscow's position with these peace talks, because we've had the accusation from Keith Kellogg's boss, Donald Trump, that President Zelensky is a dictator, a baseless accusation.
And again, Ukraine excluded from talks about a way to end the war between Russia and the U.S.
A little more on that subject. Monday marks the third anniversary of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. And this weekend, there are some events around Southern California to show support for the Ukrainian community. Here's Emily Valdez.
On Saturday in Dana Point, there's a fundraising event for people in Ukraine and refugees. It's called 3 Years of Courage.
These are a commemoration of lives in remembrance of the sacrifice of the Ukrainian people.
German Simakovsky is with Go Ukraina. There's another big event Sunday afternoon.
Stand with Ukraine Foundation and members of the Ukrainian community will be gathering for a rally just outside of Santa Monica City Hall.
He's encouraging not just people within the Ukrainian community, but others to join in. I'm Emily Valdez, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
More from our war correspondent who's been in Kyiv for the duration of the war coming up in just a few minutes. We'll talk to him. Convoy of vehicles believed to be holding the bodies of four hostages who died while being held by Hamas is now in Israel. Victims are believed to be a mother and two of her children, an elderly peace activist as well. BBC's Sebastian Usher.
A day that people have been bracing themselves for. They knew that at some point in this first phase of a ceasefire, there would be bodies of hostages who had died in captivity but would be handed over by Hamas. And that is what happened today. Hamas staged a ceremony in Khan Yunis in Gaza.
Hamas is set to free 6 living hostages Saturday in exchange for hundreds of Palestinian prisoners. It says it will release 4 more bodies next week. That'll complete the ceasefire's first phase.
Companies keep telling their workers, come back to the office, and more employees are saying, okay, fine.
A new accounting from property management company Castle Systems shows the number of people abandoning work from home and punching in at the office has hit its highest point since the pandemic. That's thanks in large part to employer mandates. Castle says the percentage of office space filled hit a record high post-pandemic average of 54.2% in 10 major cities last month, with Houston leading the way at about 65%. San Francisco brought up the rear with a little more than 42%. Gap, JP Morgan, AT&T, and Amazon are among the most recent companies to issue return-to-office orders. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
So, the war words between President Trump and Ukraine's President Zelensky, and supposed to be this meeting today with Trump's special envoy to Ukraine, set to meet with President Zelensky. We talked with war correspondent Phil Itner. He's in Kyiv and asked how just regular people in Ukraine feel about President Trump's comments.
They couldn't have given President Volodymyr Zelensky a better boost if they'd tried. Insulting President Zelensky at a time of war has actually unified them behind him, even those who are really critical of Zelensky have said it is not your place to insult our president or to insist that we, have elections, which under Ukrainian law, the Ukrainian constitution is actually illegal in times of martial law, and martial law was voted on legally by the parliament here. So, that whole narrative that there must be an election goes contrary to the law here. Many Ukrainians know that. But who are now actually saying, should there be an election, just because Donald Trump has been so insulting to Zelensky that they would vote for him now. So there's that. But also in addition to that, Donald Trump has now scuppered any chance at a U.S. negotiated settlement. Any peace deal that is hashed out between D.C. and the Kremlin will now be seen here as highly suspect, if not dead on arrival. What that sadly means is that more Ukrainians are going to die at the front lines. It'll take longer to conclude this war, but they will not have a peace deal that doesn't take into account their concerns and kind of forces it down their throat. Though that's not going to happen anymore. So Donald Trump has gone, has just shot himself in the foot on this platform that he ran on during the election, where he said he would solve this in 24 hours. That's not going to happen now.
Yeah, Zelensky kind of laying down that marker, right? I'm not going to accept anything that doesn't involve my country at the table at the time. So given that, I mean, what do you think happens now, almost 3 years, the mark for the start of the war?
Yeah, Monday will be the 3 year anniversary of the full scale invasion. But of course, Ukrainians see their war as having started in 2014 when Russian soldiers crossed over the border into the Donbass area and took Crimea also. What does it mean? It means that, again, Ukraine, sadly, will have to continue this this awful, awful war. They've got the means to do that. They have enough weapons that were given to them by the international community and the outgoing Biden administration to keep going for the bulk of this entire year. They will continue to do that. But what it does mean for places off the front line and certain aspects of what's happening on the front line, in addition, is that there are going to be certain military assets, certain weapon systems that are going to become critical, if not collapse. And in particular, the Patriot system, which defends Ukrainian cities, is likely to be in trouble. And that'll mean places like Kiev or Odessa, or even further back into the western Ukrainian city of Lviv, places like that. They won't have air defense quite as good as they used to. But the resolve to continue fighting is still very strong here, because they know what'll happen if Moscow wins. It'll be awful for them.
That is war correspondent Phil Itner. He is in Kyiv, and he has a podcast. It's on YouTube if you want to check it out. It's about the war, and it's called On the Edge with Philip Itner.